الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى through His infinite grace and mercy has once again granted the fortune to participate in this fifth annual conference organized under the auspices of Jami Masjid Bartley. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of one and all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this conference a means of hidayah, a means of soul purification, and a means of forgiveness and salvation in the hereafter. The hadith of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which I was fortunate and honored to recite within the khutbah, is a very well known hadith narrated by the well known muhaddith أمير المؤمنين في الحديث حضرت إمام بخاري رحمه الله تعالى. Our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم says المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. Muslim is he from whose tongue and from whose hand other Muslims remain safe. Tongue indicates to word, and hand indicates to action. So now the translation is, Muslim is he from whose word, from whose speech, and from whose action other Muslims remain safe. And in the narration of Imam Nasa'i rahimahullah ta'ala, another great muhaddis, we find a slight change. Al-Muslimu man saliman nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi. The word al-Muslimuna is substituted with the word an-nas. Muslim is he from whose word, from whose speech, and from whose action all people remain safe. Not only Muslims, not only al-Muslimun, an-nas, all people. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ O people, إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا I am sent as the messenger of Allah for all of you. In this day and age, to understand the message of this hadith, and for every Muslim to wholeheartedly practice upon the message of this hadith is very, very important. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, was not only a great faqih, he was a very great muhaddis too. Imam Adam, the great Imam, the great Imam, Sirajul A'imma, the lantern of the Imams. He was a very great faqih, but he was also a very great muhaddis. A person cannot become a jurist, a faqih, without being a master in the field of tafsir and the field of hadith. Because it is from the Quran and from the ahadith the masail are deduced. So it is not possible for a person to become a faqih without being a master in the Quran, in the tafsir of the Quran, and in the science of ahadith. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala is acknowledged as the greatest faqih. Al-Imam al-Azam, the great Imam. If he was the great Imam and the greatest faqih, then definitely he had great insight in the science of tafsir and also the science of hadith. Otherwise he could not have become a great faqih. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, An-nasu iyalun ala Abi Hanifata fil fiqh. If you put all the fuqaha together, including himself, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says, if you put all the fuqaha together, then Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is the father and all the other fuqaha are his children. Great Imam. So he was a muhaddis too. There is a book of hadith compiled by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, which is known as Sahihul Bukhari in short. Al-Jami, Al-Musnad, Al-Mukhtasar, Al-Sahih.
This is the long name of Bukhari. In short, Sahihul Bukhari. This is the book compiled by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Sahih Muslim, book of hadith compiled by Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala. Muwatta Imam Malik, book of hadith compiled by Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Nasai rahimahullah ta'ala. Sunanun Nasai, Tirmidhi Sharif, Sunanut Tirmidhi. Ibn Majah, Sunan Ibn Majah, Abu Dawud, Sunan Abi Dawud. There were so many muhaddisin, who collected the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam, and the whole ummah is indebted to them. The ummah is indebted to the Huffaz for preserving the Quran. The ummah is indebted to the Qurra for preserving the correct intonation of the Quran. The ummah is indebted to the Mufassirin for safeguarding the commentary of the Quran. The ummah is indebted to the Muhaddithin for safeguarding the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And the ummah is also indebted to the fuqaha for deducing the masail which were lying hidden in the oceans of Quran and ahadith. And making the deen very easy for the ummah. We are busy people. I can use two words. We are lazy and we are busy. But lazy is a bit disrespectful. So giving benefit of doubt to everybody, we are busy people. I am lazy, everybody else is busy. Lazy, busy. We cannot even find time to read a booklet. 15 pages, 20 pages, 30 pages. Never mind a booklet, we cannot find time to read a leaflet. Two sides of A4. No time. We have no time to take out 2 minutes and stand near the notice board and read one hadith, one mas'ala, one advice, anecdote of a pious personality. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had left it to you and me to study the Quran, study the tafsir, study the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam and try to find guidance and deduce rulings and masails pertaining to our day-to-day life, how would it have been possible for us to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So all these great personalities, we are indebted to them. The muhaddisun, the mufassirun, the fuqaha, the qurra, the huffaz. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala has his compilation also. Musnadul Imam Abi Hanifa. The Musnad of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, a book of hadith. Musnad of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. If he was not a muhaddith, why is it that this book is sold in the market, in the Arab world, non-Arab world? Where did this book come from? Musnadul Imam Abi Hanifa. If he was not a muhaddith. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala was a great faqih, jurist. Very great faqih. a great muhaddith and a very, very, very pious personality. Very pious personality. He would engage in teaching and learning and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout 24 hours. And he would only give his body rest at the time of Qailula for half an hour or hour. The remaining 23 hours, worship and service to ilm. And for 40 years it is recorded that for 40 years he performed his Fajr Salat with the wudu of his Isha Salat. Not that he performed his Isha Salat and thereafter he engaged in futile activities and he did not sleep and he was able to retain his wudu because he would not sleep at night. And he performed his Fajr Salat with the same wudu. No. What this means is that he performed Isha Salat and thereafter he engaged himself in ibadah until the Fajr Salat. And he performed his Fajr Salat with the wudu of the Isha Salat. So a comprehensive personality, a very great personality. He says that if a person was to practice upon five ahadith, then it would be sufficient for his hereafter. There are five ahadith. If he was to practice upon these five ahadith, he chose five ahadith from the thousands of ahadith that he was aware of. If a person was to practice upon five ahadith, then it would be sufficient for his hereafter. And from amongst these five ahadith, one hadith is, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. It is not difficult to understand the status of this hadith, the position of this hadith. That from among the thousands of ahadith, hundreds of thousands of ahadith, a great muhaddith and a great faqih and a great pious personality, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi says that there are five ahadith which are sufficient for a person's hereafter. And one of these five ahadith is, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. My friends, it is very, very important for, us to acquaint ourselves to the knowledge of our deen, knowledge of Islam, knowledge of Nubuwwah, especially in this day and age, so that we are able to understand every scenario in the light of Quran and Hadith. We don't get confused. We are able to understand the scenario and we are able to explain the scenario in the light of Quran and Hadith without being biased. Because our deen is moderate. Alhamdulillahilladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab walam yaj'al lahu iwaja qayyiman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed upon the ummah is straight, qayyim, straight. It is not crooked. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجَ. It neither leans towards the right nor towards the left. It is moderate. And the path that we have been taught is a moderate path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-mustaqim. Wa anna hadha sirati mustaqiman fattabi'uh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, wa anna hadha sirati. Indeed, this is my path which is straight. Anna hadha sirati mustaqiman fattabi'uh. Therefore, follow this path. Follow the straight path. So Allah commands us to follow the straight path. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also instructs us to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every rakat, Ihdina siratal mustaqim. O Allah, guide us upon the straight path. O Allah, keep me on the straight path. O Allah, save me from leaning to the right or the left. Keep me on the straight path. When a person leans towards the right, then he is moving away from the moderate path. He is moving away from the center. He is moving away from moderation. And the more he moves away from the center, from the moderate path, the more extreme he becomes. And similar is the case with the left. As-siratul mustaqim, straight path, which does not lean towards the right nor towards the left. And where do we acquire this path from? From whom do we acquire this path? From the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. And after the Anbiya leave this world, from whom do we acquire this path? From whom do we learn this path? From the Siddiqeen, from the Shuhada, and from the Salihin. So we read the teachings of the Anbiya, we read the teachings of the Siddiqeen, the teachings of the Shuhada, teachings of the Salihin. We study their lives. We study their anecdotes. We make them good examples for ourselves. We make them ideals. And we follow their teachings. Siratal ladhina an'amta alayhim. O Allah, guide us upon the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored. And who are these people? وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Whom has Allah favored? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. This is the moderate path, the path of the Anbiya, the path of the Siddiqeen, the path of the Shuhada, the path of the Sulaha. Sulaha, the pious of the Ummah. Pious of the Ummah. The God-fearing ulama. The ulama who do not only possess ilm, with ilm they also have amal. What they say they do. Their public life and private life is same. What is on their tongue is in their hearts. And what is in their hearts is on their tongues. Sincere, genuine, pure people. Sadiqeen, the truthful. Solaha, the pious. Muttaqeen, the God-fearing. Muslims, the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those ulama who practice their ilm, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullahu ta'ala, very great muhaddith. The very first hadith Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala narrates from his teacher Humaydi. And Imam Humaydi narrates this very hadith from his teacher, Sufyan ibn Uyayna. حدثنا الحميدي قال حدثنا سفيان. Very great muhaddith, Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullahu ta'ala. And a great faqih. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullahu ta'ala says, describing an alim, defining an alim, لَيْسَ الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي لَيْسَ الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ مِنَ الشَّرِ. That person is not an alim who can differentiate between khair and shar. He is not an alim. Laysal alimul ladhi yarifu al khayra min ash shar. That person is not an alim who can differentiate between khair and shar. He is not an alim who can differentiate between haq and batil, truth and falsehood. He is not an alim who can differentiate between permissible and impermissible, jaiz and najaiz. He is not an alim who is able to differentiate between halal and haram. لَيْسَ الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ مِنَ الشَّرِّ وَلَكِنَّ الْعَالِمَ الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ فَيَتَّبِعُهُ وَيَعْرِفُ الشَّرَّ فَيَجْتَنِبُهُ. Alim is that person who recognizes khair, truth, and he follows that khair and truth. And he recognizes shar and falsehood, and he abstains from that shar and falsehood. Such an alim is known as salih. He belongs to the category of the sulaha, the salihin. And alhamdulillah, you will find dozens of such ulama who fall in this category, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that such a group will remain in the ummah until the final moments, until the day of qiyamah. Until the day of qiyamah. So, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, moderate path. Straight path means moderate path. The path of those whom you have favored. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الظَّالِينَ. Not the path of مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ and not the path of ظَالِينَ. These are the two extremes. مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, one extreme. ظَالِينَ, the other extreme. مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, they harbored rancor and hatred for the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam so much so that they even killed Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So this is one group. So oh Allah, save us from extremism. Every Muslim makes this dua in every rakat. Oh Allah, save me from extremism. Extremism of the right and extremism of the left. In every rakat, a Muslim makes a dua, oh Allah, don't make me a rightist and don't make me a leftist. Every Muslim makes this dua. In every rakat. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed every Muslim to read this dua in every rakat, that means it is the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every Muslim remains a moderate. And if this is the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every ayah and verse of the Quran has to be moderate. And every teaching of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to be moderate. And because Quran was moderate, because it is the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that believers become moderate and they remain moderate. So Quran is moderate. And the tafsir of the Quran ahadith, that is also moderate. And the one who was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach this Quran and teach this tafsir to the people and nurture them, he had to be moderate also. So Quran is moderate, ahadith moderate, and our Nabi is moderate. So the teachings are moderate and the teacher is moderate. And what will be the result? The students will also be moderate. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً. The Quran says, and we have made you a moderate ummah. Quran says this. Any person who becomes extreme, any person who becomes extreme, that is a sign that he has either not understood Islam correctly or he has understood Islam correctly but he is not following Islam correctly. A person who understands Islam correctly and he follows Islam correctly, he can never become extreme. Because Quran is moderate, Ahadith is moderate, the teacher is moderate, the teaching is moderate. So as a result, the student who is nurtured will become moderate, will remain moderate. And that is what Allah wants. What does Allah say in the Quran? وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاتِ مُسْتَقِيبًا This straight path, follow this path, the moderate path. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ السُّبُلْ Neither lean towards the right nor the left. This is your path, the center path. Don't lean towards the right, don't lean towards the left. Why? وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ السُّبُلْ فَتَفَرَّكَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ If you lean towards the right, if you lean towards the left, then you will miss the straight path. So don't do that. You will miss the straight. And it is the straight path that will lead you to Jannah. It is the straight path that will lead you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the straight path that will lead you to success in this world and also in the hereafter. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. My appeal to all my friends who are sitting in this gathering and who are listening at home, who may listen after, is that learn Islam. Do not take the back seat. Each and every Muslim needs to become active, proactive. And he needs to learn his deen. Learn the seerah of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Learn the ahadith of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Learn the glorious Quran by either becoming an alim or by sitting in the company of the ulama. Every person needs to strive. Every day, half an hour, 1 hour daily. If not, then half an hour, 1 hour per week. If not, half an hour, 1 hour every month. Read books written by good, authentic, reliable ulama under the supervision of those ulama who you are familiar with, who you trust, whom you know, and who are aware of your temperament, your capabilities, your abilities. So that they can guide you towards the correct literature. And slowly increase your knowledge. In this day and age, my friends, it is very, very important for us to understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and practice correctly so that our actions gives positive message to all Muslims and non-Muslims. And we need to increase our knowledge so that we are able to engage with our non-Muslim brothers. They are also our brothers. We are humans. We ourselves, we are human brothers and religious brothers. We are human brothers and religious brothers. And the non-Muslims, they are our human brothers. They are also the ummah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The ummah has been divided into two parts, ummate da'wat and ummate ijabat. Those who do not accept Islam have not been thrown out of the ummah. No, they are ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ummate da'wat and ummate ijabat, two parts. Muslims is one part of the ummah, non-Muslims another part of the ummah. They are our brothers. And in the history of Islam, it is for this reason we see coexistence. During the time of Khilafat of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Umar radiyallahu anhu, Usman radiyallahu anhu, Ali radiyallahu anhu, we see coexistence between Muslims and non-Muslims. They were living together with peace, with harmony. So my friends, make this your first resolution of today, that inshallah from today you will strive to increase your ilm. And ilm will come from the ulama. There is a chain that leads to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And each and every person in this chain has to be authentic, reliable. Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullahu ta'ala says, Inna hadal ilma deenun. This ilm is deen. So if you want to learn deen, if you want to follow deen, if you want to practice deen, then you have to acquire ilm. It is this ilm that is deen. If ilm is complete, deen is incomplete. If ilm is incomplete, deen is incomplete. If ilm is authentic, deen is authentic. And if ilm is not authentic, deen is not authentic. If ilm is not reliable, then what you practice is not reliable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only that ilm will be accepted which has an authentic chain leading to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullahu ta'ala says, لَوْلَ الْإِسْنَاد لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ. If I say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam says this, anyone can question me. Anyone can question me. Where is this hadith? Is it in Bukhari? Is it in Tirmidhi? Is it in Darami? Where is this hadith? Chain. Yes, it is in Bukhari. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says that I have heard this from this ustad. He has heard it from this teacher. He has heard it from this teacher. He has heard it. Reference. Who has said this? Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi has said this. Now that is a chain. That is a chain because he was a great scholar of Islam. Accepted by all his contemporaries as the authority. Chain. Without chain in this world, nothing is accepted. When a person graduates as a doctor from a university, that is a chain. He will not mention the chain, but graduating from a university means he has studied under somebody who had also graduated. And in return, that person had also studied under somebody who had graduated. And again, that person had also studied under somebody. That is a chain. Without certificate, a doctor will not find a job. He will have to provide his certificate. If I was told by any of my well wishes in the gathering, those who love me very dearly, that there is a very good doctor in Batli. He prescribes medicine and his diagnosis is 100%. But the only problem is that he has not studied under anybody. He has studied himself, medicine himself. Even if the whole masjid tells me to go to him, I will not go to him. And not only me, you will not go to him either. Without chain, nothing is acceptable. Nothing is acceptable. Best of lawyers, who knows all the laws and with the best of arguments, if he does not have a certificate, he will not be able to go in the court and fight on behalf of anybody. Chain. Because lawlal isnad, if chain was not required, then any Zaid, Bakar, Amr could stand up and he could say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. And you would not be able to ask him for chain because there is no demand for chain, if that is the principle. So Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala says that if there was no requirement of chain, if this was not a principle set by the ulama, then any person would have said whatever he desired in regard to deen. And deen would not have remained safe. So sit in the company of those people who have a chain. And I have mentioned this here before as well, that Google is not an alim. Google is not a mufti. Google does not have a chain leading to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, Google, and if you find an article written by somebody whose chain goes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you read his article. If you are sure that this article has been authored by this person, but if you come across a name whom you are not familiar with, then ask the ulama, that is this a person whose chain reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If his chain does not reach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his ilm is not reliable. And if you come across an article without any name, then again, abstain from it. Because it is not reliable. No chain. We need to be very, very careful in regard to our dini matters. So I was saying, friends, that we need to acquire ilm. We need to acquire ilm. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Muslim is he from whose speech, from whose word, from whose action, other Muslims and also non-Muslims, other people remain safe. Now the question that will arise in the minds of the people is that, does that mean that a person from whose speech and word or from his action other people do not remain safe is not a Muslim? Because that is what it means. Muslim is he from whose speech and from whose action other people remain safe. So the simple conclusion is that the person from whose speech and from whose action other people do not remain safe is not a Muslim. The commentators of the hadith have posed this question and thereafter have given two answers. The first answer is a very common answer, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is saying that that person from whose speech and from whose actions other people do not remain safe is a Muslim, but not a complete and perfect Muslim. There is defect in him. Everything is perfect. Salat is there, zakat is there, hajj is there, tilawat is there, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Everything is there. But he has this defect. And what is that defect? That the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the humans are not safe from his tongue, from his words, from his speech. He backbites. He taunts. He hurts people by mocking them, jeering at them. He calls out names and hurts them. People are not safe from his tongue, from his words, from his speech. Or they are safe from his speech, but people are not safe from his action. He behaves misappropriately. He physically abuses people. So he is a Muslim because he believes in Allah, he believes in the Malaika, so he is a Muslim, but he is not a complete Muslim. He is not a perfect Muslim. So in order to become a perfect and complete Muslim, a person will have to bring his tongue and his actions under control. Then only he will be able to become a perfect and complete Muslim. Now some people will say, in this day and age, you will seldom find a person who follows the whole deen except this particular item. You will seldom find a person who follows the whole deen except controlling his tongue and controlling his actions. So we are incomplete anyway. Now this hadith will not have a profound effect on us. I am incomplete. I am not performing salah. If I was to see any of my brother hurting somebody physically or verbally, and if I say to him that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you do this, you are not a perfect Muslim. So he can say to me that I am not perfect anyway because I don't perform salah. So it doesn't matter. I am already imperfect. Even if I control my tongue, even if I control my actions, I will still remain imperfect because I don't give zakat. Because I don't control my gaze. Because I watch films, I listen to music. So in order to become perfect and complete, I will have to do so many things. So even if I control my tongue, if I control my actions, I will not be able to become perfect. So the profound effect is not there. For this reason, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullahi Alayhi gives another explanation. He says that the message contained in this hadith is, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying to every believer that the person who does not control his tongue, or the person who does not control his actions, the one who cannot control himself and he causes harm to other people, he remains a Muslim, but Muslim of such a low category that he does not deserve being called a Muslim. So now the translation is, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadihi. Only that person deserves the title of Al-Muslim. Only that person deserves being called a Muslim, from whose words, speech, and from whose actions all people remain safe. Despite being a Muslim, if people are not safe from his actions, from his speech, people should not call him a Muslim. It's like a doctor who has graduated from a university. A doctor. He has passed with very good grades. And everybody knows that he is expert in his field. Eyes, ears, ENT, whatever, he is expert in his field. But he cheats people. He deceives people. He does not treat them according to his knowledge. And one case, second case, third case, fourth case, fifth case, people realize that anybody who goes to this doctor, he becomes even more ill, even more sick. Because he is taking money from them and giving them wrong medicines. He is operating upon them only to make money. The patient doesn't need operation. And as a result of that operation, the patients become sick. Slowly, 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 everybody realizes this. And thereafter, if a person was to say, that, have you seen Dr. Omar? Have you seen Dr. Ibrahim? People will say, don't call him doctor. So does that mean he is not a doctor? No, he is a doctor, but he doesn't deserve being called a doctor. Because he is not respecting his profession. He is not respecting the expertise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him. So similarly, Allah Ta'ala has enlightened our hearts with Islam and Iman. And by not safeguarding our tongues and safeguarding our actions, we are causing pain to our fellow human beings. We are disrespecting the title Muslim. Therefore, we do not deserve the title Al-Muslim. Only that person deserves the title Muslim, from whose speech and from whose actions other people, not Muslims, other people remain safe. So this is the second resolution we need to make, my friends. Let us make a firm resolution that from today we will not do anything that will cause pain to anybody around us. We will not cause any pain to our wives, our husbands, our parents, our children, our neighbors, Muslims, non-Muslims, old, young, male, female, relatives, strangers, friends, foes. We will not cause any harm, any pain to any human. Let us make this firm resolution, my friends. Let us make this firm resolution, and inshallah, if we try, we will succeed. Not only will we succeed, we will reach the peak of success, inshallah, in this field, like our pious predecessors did. Not only did they refrain from causing pain and harm to others, they bore the burden of difficulties in order to bring comfort to others. Khaja Baqi Billah, rahimahullah ta'ala, very great personality, is very great saint. One night he was performing tahajjud. It was a very cold night. And while performing tahajjud on the musalla, the cold became unbearable and he started shivering. So after completing his 2 rakat, he got up from the musalla to look for his blanket in the darkness of the night. And in those days people were poor, and the likes of Khaja Baqi Billah rahimahullah ta'ala had no inclination towards dunya. So he had only one blanket in the house. So he lit the candle, he got up from his place, and he went looking for his blanket. Sheet, blanket, shawl. And when he reached the blanket, he saw that a cat was sleeping very comfortably in his blanket. We are not talking about humans here. We are talking about an animal, a cat, which is very, very insignificant to me and you. But these were the Waresine Ambiya. Khaja Baqi Billah rahimahullah ta'ala was a true inheritor of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he had so much mercy for a cat, imagine the mercy of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so merciful, how can his teaching be void of mercy? How is it possible? Dekh kar akhlaq ko aur aapke altaaf ko, after observing the akhlaq of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the benevolence and the compassion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do the non-Muslims say? What do the non-Muslims say? Not Muslims. Dekh kar akhlaq ko aur aapke altaaf ko, ghair bhi kehte hai tum ho rahmatul lil alameen. Even the non-Muslims are compelled to say that he was nothing but rahmatul lil alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alameen. Rahman, the most merciful. Rahim, the most compassionate, sent rahmatul lil alameen. Rahman, Rahim, the most compassionate, the most merciful, sent rahmatul lil alameen. With ta'aleem, with the Quran, with guidance which is also rahmah. Ya ayyuhan nas qad ja'atkum maw'izatun mir rabbikum wa shifaa'un lima fis sudur wa hudan wa rahma. Sender is Rahman and Rahim, and the messenger is rahmatul lil alamin, and what is being sent is rahma. How can people assume that Islam is not a religion of mercy? How can people assume? Islam is a misunderstood religion. The talimat of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are misunderstood. The talimat of the Quran are misunderstood. And we can go some way in trying to remove this misunderstanding by learning our deen, learning Islam, learning about the teachings of Islam. On one side, Khaja Baqi Billah rahimahullah ta'ala is shivering, and it is middle of night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. The sun is yet to rise after 4 hours, 5 hours. He's shivering. He has no other blanket. And on the other side, a makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sleeping, resting in the warmth of that very blanket. Now, if I take this blanket, I will solve my problem. But what about the cat? And if I leave the cat sleeping as it is, what about me? So it's either me or the cat. It's either me or the animal. Me or the cat. Me or the cat. and he decided in favor of the cat. And the cat remained asleep throughout the night in the blanket of Khaja Baqi Billah rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he remained shivering. During that cold night, this is what Islam teaches. This is what Islam teaches. No pain should come to anybody. No pain. Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, his katib, his scribe, Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that I used to accompany Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala in his travels in quest for knowledge. And he was my teacher, much older than me. I was his junior, much younger than him. And during the night, Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala would get up from his bed and he would light the candle and he would make notes, he would write something. So even whilst he was lying down on his bed, he would think about his book, Bukhari Sharif. So he was compiling the book even during the night. So something very important that used to come in his mind, he would not leave it till morning. Immediately he would want to make sure that I note this down, lest I forget in the morning. Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala says that this used to happen very regularly, and not only once during a night, a few times during the night. And sometimes I used to notice him and again fall off to sleep, because I was a young man. Seldom my eyes used to open during the night, and whenever it used to open, I knew that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, my teacher, he is experiencing difficulty trying to do the work himself. So despite wanting to, I would fall asleep again. So one day I said to him that sometimes my eyes open and I observe you doing something during the night. Can you please wake me up and give me the opportunity to serve you? Very great lesson for teachers, my friends, for ulama, for huffaz who teach. Nowadays, many parents think that only parents have rights upon children. Children have no rights upon parents. Similarly, there are some teachers who think that only we have rights over our students. The students have no rights upon us. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Anta shab." I am an old man. My sleep is not deep. You are a young man. And a young man's sleep is deep. La uhibbu an ufsid alayka an-nawm. I do not desire to disturb your sleep. I will do it myself. Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. And the student is desiring to serve him. Desiring to serve him. From the student side, he desires comfort for the teacher, and the teacher desires comfort. Why? Because they were both kamil Muslim, complete Muslim. A complete Muslim will not only refrain from paining and causing harm to people, a kamil and complete Muslim will reach the pinnacle of success and he will try his utmost to safeguard others from pain and difficulty and give them comfort. Hazrat Maulana Shaykhul Hadith Raza Ajmeri Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala, again a very pious personality, it is recorded regarding him in his biography that after eating watermelon, he would cut the skin of the watermelon into very small pieces. We eat the watermelon, the skin is long and we just throw it away. He would cut it into small pieces. And after cutting the skin of the watermelon in small pieces, he would place it on a newspaper. One or two pages from newspaper, he would place it on the newspaper, and thereafter he would leave his home and leave these pieces of watermelon outside on the newspaper. He was an old person. 70-year-old person goes through this difficulty every time during the watermelon season. So one day somebody asked him that, why don't you just throw it away like other people do outside? And in India, many places, things are not so clean outside, so you throw it outside and the cow will come, buffalo will come, goat will come, and they will eat it. That is what normally happens. Why don't you just throw it away? So Hazrat said, the reason for this is that one day when I was coming home from masjid, I observed a goat trying to eat a skin of a watermelon, and because the mouth of the goat is small, it was finding it difficult to eat. So from that day, I made it a point of cutting the skin of the watermelon into pieces so that the goat will not be inconvenienced. A person who does not inconvenience a goat, will he inconvenience a human who is ashraful makhlukat? And the notion is that this zulm, this oppression, this atrocity is being taught by the ulama in the madaris. These are the ulama I am talking about, who are so affectionate to the animals. He was a Shaykhul Hadith in a madrasa. At one time he was a student. Somebody must have taught him this. In the madrasa, somebody must have taught him this compassion. He did not go to college. He did not go to university. Right from his young age, he was in the madrasa. And after graduation, he started teaching in the madrasa. All his life in madrasa, from where did he learn this, if not from madrasa? He did not go anywhere else. His whole life was in madrasa. So we have to conclude that he learned this characteristic from nowhere but madrasa, nowhere but madrasa, nowhere but madrasa. The very first hadith that every muhaddis teaches his students is Ar-Rahimuna Yarhamuhum Ar-Rahmanu Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Very first hadith that every muhaddis teaches his students in the madaris. The very first hadith. The name of this hadith is Hadith Ar-Rahmah, the hadith of mercy. This is the very, even before Bukhari Sharif, even before Tirmidhi Sharif, the very first, it is known as Musalsal Bila Waliyat. Awwal, first hadith that is taught by a teacher of hadith to his students is Ar-Rahimun Yarhamuhum Ar-Rahmanu Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Those who show mercy to others, Allah shows mercy to them. And why is it known as Hadith Ar-Rahmah? Because it contains the topic of Rahmah. The subject matter is Rahmah. But Ar-Rahimun, Rahma, derive Rahma. Yarhamum, Yarhamu, again Rahma. Yarhamu Ar-Rahman, again Rahma. Irhamu, again Rahma. Man fil ard, Yarhamkum, again Rahma. Over and over again, Rahma is being mentioned. Ar-Rahimuna Yarhamuhum Ar-Rahmanu Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Those people who show mercy to others, Allah shows mercy to them. Therefore, now that this principle has been understood, now the instruction comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: Irhamu man fil ard, show mercy to all the people on this earth. All the people, not Muslims. Irhamul Muslimin, no. Irhamu man fil, all the Muslims, all the humans, all the people, show mercy to all the people. Yarhamkum man fis sama, Allah will show mercy to you. Man la yarham la yurham, one who does not show mercy is not shown mercy. Thereafter he was questioned, Hazrat, that part is understood, but the part of newspaper is not understood. Why on the newspaper? So he said that when we throw the skin of the watermelon outside, it is somewhat wet. And the pebbles that are lying on the footpath or in the street, that sticks to the skin of the watermelon. And when the animal, whether it's goat or whether it's cow or buffalo, when they eat it, they find it difficult. They are inconvenienced. So I put it on the newspaper so they are not inconvenienced. Let us make resolutions, my friend. Inshallah, from today we will not cause pain to anybody. We will not harm anybody. It is this Islam, the religion of mercy, which teaches us. In Bukhari Sharif, we find both ahadith. That a prostitute was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and granted entry into Jannah for quenching the thirst of a dog. And a pious lady was thrown in the fire of Jahannam for being cruel to a cat. Both hadiths in Bukhari Sharif. One by showing kindness and mercy to the dog goes in Jannah. And the other by showing cruelty to a cat goes in Jahannam. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said three times, Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. This is a sign of a good teacher. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to attract the attention of the whole audience in different ways. At this occasion, three times he said, Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. By Allah, that person does not deserve being called a mu'min. This translation is according to the interpretation of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah. That person does not deserve the title mu'min. By Allah, that person does not deserve the title mu'min. By Allah, that person does not deserve the title mu'min. And thereafter he became silent. So the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain said, Man ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, who is this person? Who is this person? Who is this mu'min who does not deserve being called a mu'min? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answered, Man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. That person from whose mischief his neighbor does not remain safe. That person from his Muslim neighbor, no, his neighbor, Muslim or non-Muslim. That person from whose mischief his Muslim and non-Muslim neighbor does not remain safe. That person does not deserve the title mu'min, does not deserve being called a mu'min. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown mercy, he has taught mercy. Forgiveness, forgive and forget. Our behavior, our attitude should be, if I hurt anybody, if I make a mistake, and I realize without hesitation, I should say sorry. Please my brother, for Allah's sake forgive me. I have made a mistake. And not only say sorry. The principle of sorry in our day-to-day life is very easy. You intentionally hurt somebody and thereafter say sorry. And if he demonstrates, you say, I have said sorry. So do whatever you want to and thereafter say sorry. Please accept my apology. I'm taking my words back. It's like throwing an arrow at somebody and killing him and thereafter saying, I have taken my arrow back. Sometimes, my friends, the effects of our speech, the hurt that we cause, remains with that person and it tortures him mentally until he dies. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna rajula layatakallamu bi kalimatin." A person speaks a single word or a single sentence. La yahwi biha balan. And he does not even pay attention to it. He does not even realize. 4 or 5 hours, friend circle, we are going and somebody is coming from the other side, he is a bit gullible. And we say just one sentence and we all laugh and walk away. And we don't not even realize. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as a result of this speech, this word, this person will find himself in Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man yadhman li ma bayna lihiyayhi wa ma bayna fakhidayhi azmannahu al-jannah." One who gives me guarantee that he will look after his tongue and he will look after his private parts. He will not misuse his private parts, he will not misuse his tongue. I guarantee Jannat for him. Man samata naja. One who controls his tongue, he has saved himself from the calamities of this world and also the hereafter. Uqbah ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala said, Man najatu ya Rasulullah. Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can I escape calamities in this world, at the time of death, in the grave, in the hereafter? The very first thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said was, "Amlik alayka lisanak." Have total control over your tongue. Have total control over your tongue. And how can we have total control over our tongues? There are so many ways. One way is, be attentive when you are speaking. Tol phir bol. Assess. First assess. And thereafter speak. Assess. Is what I am about to say good or bad? If it is bad, control yourself. If it is good, speak. Is what I am about to say going to bring me any benefit in the hereafter? If yes, speak. If no, don't speak. I am concluding now, my friends. First thing is, we make firm resolution that inshallah we will not cause any harm or any pain to anybody from today. If we have caused any harm or any pain to anybody, Muslim or non-Muslim, apologize. And only saying sorry is not apology. Only writing a letter is not sufficient. We need to satisfy ourselves that he has forgiven me. Nowadays we pain people, we hurt people, we are aggressive, we abuse people, and we wait for the day of Eid. We wait for either us or the other party to go for Umrah. And on that day we say, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And the other person is hurt, he doesn't reply. He doesn't say a single word as far as the forgiveness aspect is concerned. We say, forgive me, and he will say, make dua for me. If he says, make dua for me, I'm going for Umrah, you are saying, forgive me, and he says, make dua for me, that tells a lot. He has not forgiven you. If we are worried about the hereafter, we have to seek his forgiveness over and over again until he forgives us. Otherwise, we will be resurrected as guilty people as far as his hukuk are concerned on the day of Qiyam. If we make a mistake, we ask for forgiveness. And if the other party makes a mistake, then without him having to ask for forgiveness, let us learn to forgive. Let us learn to forgive. He is my Muslim brother. He is my human brother. He has made a mistake. I have forgiven you. No problem. And if he comes and asks for forgiveness, say to him that I have already forgiven you. Don't remind me of what has happened. I have forgiven and forgotten. Don't talk about it. Talk about something else. It will strengthen the bond of love between the two. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. If somebody does evil to you, then do good to that person. As a result, he will become your bosom friend. Whenever he will meet you with lot of warmth. وَيَذْرَوْنَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ Our young Qari Sahib recited the verses in which the qualities and the characteristics of Ulul Albab have been mentioned. Ulul Albab, the people with intellect. Ulul Albab. And regarding the Ulul Albab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are the people of Jannah. One of their characteristics is وَيَدْرَوْنَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. Those people who do evil, they retribute that evil with good. If somebody does bad to you, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Islam is a just religion. Islam does not teach us to be on the taking side only. Because if the whole of Batli comes to realize that our Imam Sahib is always on the taking side, you do anything with him, he will forgive. Then in some cases, a person will live a very miserable life. So Islam has given rights to both. وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا أُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. If somebody pains you, hurts you, if somebody violates your right, then you also have the right to take revenge. But equal. Equal, not overstep. Don't become emotional. If he has taken 50 pounds from you, you can only take 50 from him, not 100. Not 55. And thereafter the Quran says, وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. But the better, and the more beloved action in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sabr and forgiveness. So if we make a mistake, we ask for forgiveness. If the other party makes a mistake, we don't wait for, we forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Let us make this firm resolution. Our pious predecessors, I am concluding now, our pious predecessors used to refrain from causing pain to other people. Because they were complete Muslims. They were people who deserved the title Muslim. Not only that, they would give comfort to other people. Comfort to other people. So much so that even the animals. And in many cases, we find our pious predecessors, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain, the Anbiya Alayhi Musallatu Wassalam, and thereafter the Awliya and the Sulaha of the Ummah, being kind not only to friends, even the foes. Sheikh Shibli Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. I will conclude with this incident. Sheikh Shibli Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. Any person who has virtue, he is envied by other people and he becomes a victim of hasad and jealousy. Any person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants virtue, he will always have a group of people who will be jealous of him and who will always try to find faults in him and who will always try to persecute him, make life difficult for him. Qari Siddiq Bandwi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, quotes a very pious personality. He says, this pious personality says that there are three signs of a wali. If you want to recognize a wali, there are three signs. Number one, he will always experience some kind of difficulty in his life. Today he is sick. Tomorrow his wife is sick. After 2 weeks the child becomes sick. After 4 weeks somebody steals money from his home. Something is happening all the time. Either something continuously, that he has a disabled child in his home, and continuously he suffers this pain. This is the first sign of wali. Sickness, illness, calamity will continually befall him one after the other, and you will see him as the embodiment of sabr and nothing but embodiment of sabr. This is the first sign of a wali. The second sign of wali, his source of income will always be halal. He will not touch haram money. He will not consume haram provision. And the third sign, he will always have some adversaries. Always. Always have somebody who will oppose him. If there are two people in this masjid who are opposing our Imam Sahib, then as soon as these two people die, some other people will have some problem with the Imam Sahib. It is for this reason, one should never wish for the death of the adversary. Because the devil you know is better than the one you don't know. You have learned how to deal with this person for the past 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. So it is better that he remains. Because if he goes, somebody else is going to become your enemy. And it will be a new game altogether, a new team you are playing with. You will have to learn all the tactics how to handle this person. This is a sign of wali. Adversaries all the time. Am yahsudun an-nas. Am yahsudun an-nas. Even people were jealous of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or rather, the ummah was given this gift through our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. من شر ما خلق ومن شر النفاثات ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. Protection from حسد. And my friends, let me tell you this also, that do not be jealous of anybody. Maulana is my human brother, Muslim brother. If he is nothing to me, he is not my brother, blood brother, he is not my brother-in-law, he is not my son, he is not my friend, he is nothing, but you cannot reject that he is my human brother and he is my Muslim brother. This is decreed by Allah. So if he is my brother from two aspects, why should I entertain jealousy when I see Maulana in some kind of goodness? I should feel happy. The jealous person, the hasid, in the hereafter, he will burn in the fire of Jahannam. And in this very world, he continually burns in the fire of jealousy. Because the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, if I am jealous with Maulana Muhammad Sahib, then in order to punish me, Allah will continue to increase his bounties. I will continually burn more and more. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Pratap Ghadi rahimahullah ta'ala says, Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Why are you burning in the fire of hasad? And the person who entertains hasad and jealousy, he is unhappy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he is saying, why has Allah given this ne'mat to Maulana? Because everything is distributed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حسد کی آگ میں کیوں جل رہے ہو کفے افسوس کیوں مل رہے ہو full of regret and grief and sorrow why are you rubbing your both hands when a person is in grief and sorrow then he sits there thinking about his enemy why is Allah giving him so many things حسد کی آگ میں کیوں جل رہے ہو کفے افسوس کیوں مل رہے ہو خدا کے فیصلوں سے کیوں ہو ناراض Why are you unhappy with the decree of Allah? Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Kafe afsos kyun mal rahe ho? Khuda ke faislon se kyun ho naraz? Jahannam ki taraf kyun chal rahe ho? Through hasad, why are you walking towards Jahannam? The whole Muslim ummah is one. Our brothers, our sisters. We should strive towards the tazkiyah and the soul purification so that whenever we hear that such and such a Muslim brother has been granted this bounty, we find happiness in our hearts. We will experience enjoyment of our hearts throughout, my friends. So Sheikh Shibli rahimahullah ta'ala, a great pious personality, he was being persecuted. by people, by the people of his locality. And one day, he became very much grieved. Human. Hazrat was also a human. Overcome with grief, he left the locality. And he went into the orchards, into the farms. And in the orchard, he found a date palm tree. And he sat leaning against the trunk of the date palm with lot of grief, lot of pain. And the grief and the pain was not out of anger. The pain and the grief was out of love for people. That why are they doing this and they are ruining their hereafter? When will they learn? Why are they doing this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to console his wali. Because in the locality, at this precise moment, he had no friends. Everybody was an adversary. He was the only one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to console him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the date palm the ability to speak to Shaykh Shibli. And the date palm said, Ya Shibli, kun misli. O Shibli, become like me. The date palm said, Ya Shibli, kun misli. O Shibli, become like me. Innahum yarmunani bil ahjar. Wa ana armihim bil asmar. People throw stones at him, and in return, I throw fruits at them. O Shibli, become like me. Innahum yarmunani bil ahjar wa ana armihim bil asmar. They throw stones at me, and in return I throw fruits at them. Let us also become like this. And let us not think even for a moment. This is a deceit from Shaitan that he was Shaykh Shibli. Shaykh Shibli was a human like you and me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted all of us those talents, the potentials, but we are not utilizing the potential that Allah has granted us, and he did. So he became Shaykh Shibli. If we strive, if we worry, if we show the concern, if we learn all these good characteristics and make a firm resolution and take steps in the right direction and turn to Allah and ask him to enlighten our hearts with these beautiful characteristics, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also make us like Shaykh Shibli rahimahullah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa la'aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء
اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمالنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين have mercy upon us O Allah have mercy upon us O أرحم الراحمين have mercy upon us forgive our sins forgive the sins of our parents forgive the sins of our families forgive the sins of our associates and friends forgive the sins of our well-wishers O Allah forgive the sins of the whole ummah O Allah forgive the sins of the whole ummah O Allah forgive the sins of the whole ummah forgive our minor sins and forgive our major sins O Arhamur Rahimeen we repent and we make a firm resolution that we will not displease you again O Arhamur Rahimeen accept our repentance grant us the tawfiq to remain steadfast on this repentance O Arhamur Rahimeen have mercy upon the whole world O Arhamur Rahimeen have mercy upon the whole world O Arhamur Rahimeen show your mercy to the whole world O Arhamur Rahimeen grant us your nearness grant us your love grant us your recognition O Arhamur Rahimeen grant us the love for your beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam grant us the tawfiq to follow in his footsteps O Arhamur Rahimeen grant us the tawfiq to do those things which please you O Arhamur Rahimeen save us from everything that displeases you O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon the whole Ummah. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, become pleased with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, become pleased with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your pleasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from your displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us death upon Husne Khatima. Ilah al-Alameen, when you take us from this world, take us with Iman. O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us with the kalima emanating from our lips and our tongue. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the punishment of the grave. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make our graves gardens from the gardens of paradise. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. Grant us shade under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us our book of deeds in our right hand. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make pul sirat easy for us. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from your anger. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from your displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entering into Jannah with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Saliheen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, become happy with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, include us amongst your awliya. O Arhamur Rahimeen, include us amongst your special friends. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the good of this world and the hereafter. Save us from the evil of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, fulfill all our lawful needs of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to connect ourselves to your kalam, Quranul Majeed, and to the ahadith of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to ilme nubuwah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the correct understanding of deen. O Allah, grant us the tawfiq to follow each and every teaching of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to explain these beautiful teachings in a beautiful manner to our non-Muslim brethren also. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant this conference acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant this conference acceptance in your court. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant this conference acceptance in your court. Make this conference a means of hidayah spreading throughout the world. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make this conference a means of salvation for all of us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, all the brothers, sisters who have participated in making this conference successful, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant them best of rewards in this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, every good that your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seeked from you, grant it to us. Every evil from which your Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seeked refuge, grant us refuge from it. O Arhamur Rahimeen, all the brothers, sisters, our associates, friends, and the whole ummah, O Arhamur Rahimeen, from amongst them, whomsoever desires us to make dua for them, or who have requested us to make dua for them, O Arhamur Rahimeen, fulfill all their lawful needs of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept our prayers. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim wa tub 'alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin bi rahmatika.